Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 227 of A Wrestling Gal Podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J. As today, I am once again joined by TV host, producer, and creator of Instinct Culture, Denise Salcedo, to bring you a conversation all about wrestling media and content creation. So, without further ado, let's chat! Hello, everybody. Today, I am once again joined by television host, producer, and creator of Instinct Culture, Denise Salcedo. So how are you doing today?
I'm good. Glad to be back on, Ella. We had such a good chat last time when you reached out. I had a good time last time. Let's do this again.
Yeah. And of course, today is a little bit different. So before we dive in, Happy New Year, by the way. It is 2022. Still very strange to say. But how are you feeling now as we're diving into this brand new year of 2022?
So I got to tell you, I always get like panicky at the beginning / end of every year because I'm like, oh my God, you know, this happened last year. God, I hope that next year's better. Or I hope it's just as good. And so I get really panicky in that end. But I kind of get in this planning mode where all I do is plan and prepare for the year. And it's very fun for me. So that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm just like ready to see what this year has to offer. And I'm going to let it, you know, surprise me. Honestly, I'm looking forward to the good surprises. I'm looking forward to, you know, just kind of seeing what this year has to really offer.
I am so excited for this brand new year. Obviously, you do such incredible work, but looking back on your 2021, what are a few things that you are personally or professionally the most proud of, you think?
God, it's so crazy because I think 2021 was such a big year in my life. And in fact, I'm going to argue it was the biggest year of my life in terms of just so much stuff happened. You know, I started the year out thinking that I was going to go a certain direction and I ended up going an entirely new direction. And it's just so crazy that you don't realize what opportunities are really out there until you start exploring them. And I just think that the way that my last year went was insane. And I don't think I could have ever really planned that. I couldn't really plan that whatsoever at all. And I just kind of like, I see that. And I think about like everything that happened in, it's like little things, you know, I started the year, that was my first year that wrestling was my full-time job, not my, you know, part-time job, not something that, you know, I want to do more of, you know, nothing like that. It was the first year that it was full-time. I took on so many more responsibilities on top of the responsibilities I already had. And then on top of that, I finally, you know, I got my first very own apartment. I got out of debt. So it was just one of those things where there are so many different facets of my life that were affected that kind or impacted rather that just really changed things for me and really changed what I ended up doing with my life. And so I think that that's why I'm always so attached to good years, because I'm always hoping that the following year will be just as good. And, you know, but if I've like everything that has happened in my life the last couple of years, each and every single year, something has changed and something has been different and something has been better than the year prior. So that makes me very happy.
So I actually didn't know that last year was your first year of doing it full time, like wrestling and all of that. We'll talk about that in a bit, but what was your other, I don't know if you had a shoot job or what else were you doing on the side besides doing prior to last year, besides doing wrestling media part-time then?
So here's my thing. So my journey is a little complicated to explain. Like it's very, very complicated. And I know we touched on this the last time that we spoke about, so you kind of already have an idea. So pretty much everything between 2014 and before the COVID hit, I was doing entertainment reporting. That's what I was doing. And so that was what I essentially was spending my time doing, spending my time working on, et cetera. And then also because that's pretty much what I was pursuing, I guess you can say what my shoot job was working as a brand ambassador. So I did brand ambassador work for years. And that was essentially, you know, promoting brands, helping work with brands, going to events and pretty much doing like everything that you can think of. Like I worked with wine companies. I've worked with natural products. I worked with, concerts. I worked sporting events. I worked so many different events, like every single product that you can think of, every sort of event that you can think of. And basically my job was to talk to the people, you know, talk about brand awareness, promote a product and go to all these events, you know, hand out free goodies, play games with people, that type of stuff. So I was doing that as my job. And at the same time, I was doing the entertainment reporting. I was doing the X-Pac podcast. And then on top of that, I was running my channel. So I was kind of doing like four things at once. And then when 2020 happened and the pandemic happened, it pretty much closed down my entertainment stuff because it closed down two things, my entertainment stuff and my brand ambassador work. So I could no longer do entertainment reporting because there was no red carpet events that was shut down. Then I couldn't do brand ambassador work because there were no events. So I kind of lost all of that. And so I pretty much just focused on the YouTube channel and basically getting more jobs within wrestling. And that's how that essentially morphed into, you know, 2020, I only did YouTube and wrestling. And then 2021 was full-time all wrestling. So I would say that like the period in terms of how much I grew was really within like 2020, 2021. And 2021 was pretty much just like an extension of more of what I was already doing in 2020. And essentially what I had been trying to do for the longest time is just that obviously, you know, timing and things and all of that stuff, you know, come into play. So that's why like, it's kind of confusing to like explain where I was at, you know, prior to all of this, but so like when I say full time, like that was it. Like wrestling was my full time job. Obviously, as you know, I took other events, you know, just because I'm a workaholic and I love to do different stuff. So even though like I did my full time work in wrestling this year, I also did, you know, I did like a network shopping stuff. I did, you know, I still was working for like another entertainment company, you know, talking about reality TV shows and that sort of stuff. So I was still doing that. It's just that, you know, I added, it was just more that wrestling was my actual real job, my real income.
It makes complete sense. And what a journey you have had, Denise. I honestly, nobody is ever going to have the same journey as you. And that's what makes your input, your insight so unique, because you have two, I wouldn't say different worlds, but two different worlds in a sense.
Yeah.
Combined to one. Yeah.
They did. They sort of collided in this way. And I don't think that if I would have never started, you know, with my entertainment reporting and all of that, I don't think I would be where I was at, where I am at today with wrestling. I needed that to essentially be where I'm at today.
Exactly. And everybody's journeys are different. I have a degree in psych and I've done nothing with it. And I'm here doing pro wrestling podcasts and hosting and writing and all of that thing. So one thing might take us down another, but it's led us here. It's led us here to today. And of course, this go around with you is going to be slightly different because I wanted to lend a little lens into women in wrestling media and content creation. And honestly, you are the perfect person to have this discussion with because you honestly do it all. So first of all, thank you. I'm so excited for this. It's going to be a lot of deep discussion, I feel like, but I think you lend a lot of valuable insight. So I'm interested to see what you're going to say.
Of course. Can't wait.
I mean, for those who don't know, can you give a little insight into all of your hats or job titles that you currently assume?
Okay, so I'll categorize it just because I think that's probably the easiest thing to do. So I'll start off with Fightful. So on Fightful, I essentially do the Raw post show. On top of the Raw post show, I do WWE pay-per-views. I recap that with Sean Ross Sapp, who's just great at his job. And then I do Impact Wrestling stuff with them. Then over on the F4W side, that is where I'm live and I do my solo show three times a week where I review NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, SmackDown, and Rampage. That is a solo podcast. There are not a lot of people, men or women, doing solo podcasts at that type of, that many days, that 1 hour length by themselves. So I'm very proud of that. Speak Now Pro Wrestling, that's live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So I do that show. On top of my responsibilities for F4W Online, sometimes I do bonus shows depending on the wrestling month. I also help run their Instagram account. On top of that, I also do Twitch commercials. So their Twitch commercials, I essentially do 8 commercials a month, and those air during the breaks of Wrestling Observer Live. So that's part of my job, you know, write, shoot, create all of those videos from scratch, et cetera, post those up there. And then I also work for the Sportster. So for the Sportster, I do weekly wrestling news videos. So like very short form news videos that, you know, I basically take their articles that their writers write and turn them into a video format. So that's what I do. So I host those, I edit those, I publish those, you know, basically do like the SEO for all of that stuff. And then on top of that, I do, for the Sportster, I do interviews as well. So sometimes I do interviews exclusively for their channel, or sometimes what I do is if I do an interview on my channel, then I post like articles for them. So either way, I'm writing articles and basically contributing interviews for the Sportster. And then on top of that,
you have your own channel. Yeah.
I have my own channel, Instincts Culture, which is basically where I upload my interviews. A lot of my major interviews go up there. That's the channel where it's, you know, it's my baby, as you've seen. And I also post a bunch of like other variety of content, which is pretty much whatever my mood is for that week. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to create. Like whatever idea pops into my mind, that's what's going up there. And, you know, it's just so much that goes around that, because on top of, you know, growing the YouTube channel, there's the, you know, I run the entire channel by myself. So no, like I don't get help. Like I've had I had a video editor for like a couple of videos, but that was pretty much it. Basically the channel, there's a lot of responsibilities that come with the YouTube channel, I may add. And then pretty much any other side jobs that I take are, you know, I do commentary for Mission Pro Wrestling, and I do ring announcing for like GCW and other places as well.
Yeah. So you're constantly, well, flying obviously for the commentary and ring announcing, but would you say, I mean, obviously these media scrums and pay-per-view red carpets haven't been as frequent as late. So would you say a majority of your work is from home then?
100%. Okay. 100%. I sit here practically all day, every day for hours, whether it's doing interviews or preparing for interviews or editing videos or going live to do podcasts. I would say 98% of my work takes place right here.
So with everything that you're doing, is there anything you haven't done in the wrestling broadcast world that you would like to learn?
See, that's the thing. Like one of my things, and this is something that I haven't necessarily dabbled in a lot lately, okay, but this is, I think, something more that I'm working towards later on in my career, if I feel like it. And basically, you know, I've already taken so many roles in front of the camera. I want to take roles behind the camera as well, because I love the television aspect of things. I love broadcasting. I love producing. I think that that is so much fun. I think that is something that I've studied that in school, but I would like to elaborate more on that. But in terms of anything else in wrestling, I kind of feel like I've done it all in terms of the on-camera stuff. So I feel like on that end, I'm good. But I do think that it's important to have women in behind the scenes roles, because that is crucial. It is so crucial. And it is also very crucial to basically have a multiple set of skills so that people can see your value and can see what you bring to the table. And I'll start off by saying this like right now, right off the bat. If you want to compete in a male dominated world, you got to step it up to like an extreme. You got to work harder, not just in the, you know, the people that are starting out, not just the women in the group. No, and you have to work harder than every single person. You got to make sure you are a strong asset. And the only way to do that is by literally learning everything that you possibly can and trying to do everything possible to become good at it, so that you are seen as a go-to person for this, for that, and you are essentially irreplaceable. So that's like one of the heavy things that I think a lot of people don't realize is just how much you have to do in order to be, you know, given up or allowed opportunities, essentially.
I think that lends itself to the concept of hustle culture too. I guess it's kind of a pun with instinct culture, but we'll just go with it. I feel like too, have you ever found yourself getting lost in hustle culture? And by that, I mean, well, this is just the technical definition, a lifestyle that is so like heavily career oriented, more so than like your hobbies, your family, and even maybe even self-care. Have you ever found yourself getting lost in that hustle culture, trying to prove like your value and your worth specifically to this male-dominated industry we call wrestling.
All the time, all the time. I definitely have to say that. And I like how you call it hustle culture, but I just call it being a workaholic. Honestly, it's just being a workaholic, because I have this thing where, and a lot of people, you know, have this, right? And this is my experience with it, is I got to do something work-related every single day. If I do not do something work-related every day, I feel this massive amount of guilt, this massive amount of this is why I'm not where I want to be, because I took today off. And that is such a terrible thing to do. It's not a good thing. Like, it's not a good thing, but that's how I function. And that's how I've been functioning for years. And I'll tell you that last year, again, 2021, I'm already confusing what year we're in.
You're good.
So at the end of 2020, I told my fiance, I said, next year, or no, you know what? Actually, never mind. I'm wrong. It was my 28th birthday. There you go. Or I forgot what birthday, whatever. I forgot it was the year or the birthday. It was either New Year's or my birthday or something. I said, this whole next year, I am going to make sure that these next 365 days, I do something every single day to benefit my career, whether it's something small or something big, like every single day. And that's what I've done every single day. And even yesterday, for example, yesterday was my day off. Okay. And I haven't had very many days off, but yesterday I did. And, you know, I had a little fun little road trip, whatever. Right. I came home and I kind of didn't have anything to do. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to get started on this week's work. And then I thought to myself, nope, Denise, no, you're not going to get started. You're going to get started tomorrow, because today is your day off. So I kind of have to like force myself to take days off, because if not, I feel incredibly guilty. And this is the thing too, is that like, obviously, you know, I mentioned that that's not necessarily a good thing, right? Because you got to take self-care and all of that. But part of it is that it makes me feel good. My like having accomplishments makes me feel good. If I don't have accomplishments, I cannot continue on living as a happy human being. So I feel like that's also, you know, part of my personality, part of my identity and what I like to do. Right. And I like, it goes back to like, ever since I was a kid, that's the way I always was. Always. I've always been like this. So this is something that I think it's grown a lot more, but it's something that I, you know, I live with. And I think a lot of people we'll kind of see that. And here's the thing though, is that, and I don't know how it is back home for you, but here in Los Angeles, it feels like a lot of times, a lot of people that I surround myself with are like this too. All my best friends, I hardly see them. Why? Because they're out there hustling as well in their thing. You know, all my female friends, they all have something along the same lines of like, you know, I have my broadcast friends that they do like, you know, their type of broadcasting work, and they're out there hustling and all of that. And so it's funny because like, you know, even when we hang out, it's like all about the work. Like we talk about work, we talk about this and that and ideas and things to do and brainstorming and how's this going for you? How's this going for me? And so I think that like, even that, when you're surrounded by people that work so hard, it only motivates you to like keep going. But here's the thing though, is that I love to work. I love to work. I love it. Even when I was not even doing this job, I love to work. So I don't know. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it did. I bring it up though, especially because in wrestling, though, and you said it's like probably part of your personality, but like historically, gosh, people, I'm just going to say it. Historically, women have been like underestimated. And a lot of us maybe think that we have to prove ourselves or prove our worth or value to others through our work. So whether it's like personally or professionally, how do you, well, you kind of answered that you force yourself to take that day off, but how do you combat that feeling to feel like you have to prove yourself, especially in this male dominated industry, Denise?
So I'll tell you that I feel like a lot of the stuff, there's times where I feel, I don't know what the word is. There's times where I feel left out, right?
Yeah.
Like left out of outsider. The conversation. Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel, because I do so much, that people tend to exclude me in certain things, because it's like you have people that are so good at one thing. And when you're doing so many things, I feel like you tend to be left out of the conversation, right? And so also, so sometimes I'm like, okay, well, like, do I feel left out or what's going on? Is this just like a one-time thing? Again, this is the issue. Like, if I don't have constant accomplishments or things that I'm proud of, it's very easy for me to say, oh my God, I'm not doing good. I got to keep going. And so that's one of the things where I have to continue to remind myself, hey, like, this is something that you did. You should be proud of that. So I'll mention a couple of things. Like, whenever I'm, I guess you can say sort of feeling down about my progress or things that I've done or haven't done, I always go back and think and try to look at the big picture. And this is so hard to do. Like, I need constant help with this all the time. But one of the things that I think to myself is, like, think of all the people that you respect. Think of all the people that are at the very top of their field. And I think to myself, those are the people that I am working with. And for me, validation is very, very important. And one of the things that has validated me and my career, there's multiple things, but some of those are, I am, again, one of the only women, one of the only people, not just women, that host multiple shows on their own by themselves for a full hour, multiple times a week on one of the biggest, most honored, respected wrestling sites there is, FOW Online, The Wrestling Observer. When I got my job with The Wrestling Observer, it was something that was so validating to me. Very, very validating to me. I, first of all, you know, had been such a fan of that, you know, of that company for such a long time, but been a listener for years. So for me, when I got brought on board, it was so validating to say, you know what, these people that are at the top of their game think that I'm good enough to join their team. That is very, very, very important. Then also, you know, when working with Fightful, working with Sean Ross Sapp, he is literally at the top of his game. And mm-hmm. I feel that, you know, just even working with him too. And, you know, we've been working now for years and he's seen a lot of my growth. You know, I've seen a lot of his growth as well. It's just, it's so cool to have somebody like that to basically see you and say, like, you're good enough to, hey, come on, not only be my permanent co-host, but also host your own shows without having, you know, without him essentially over my shoulder, making sure that I'm doing a good job. Right. And I think that being trusted with responsibilities is so validating, and being given opportunities with these platforms is very validating. So stuff like that is what makes me feel good. And every time I start to think like, oh my God, I got to keep proving myself over and over, at the end of the day, I have already proven myself by being associated with these people that are great at their jobs, and by being allowed responsibilities and things to do with these people, again, that are at the top of their jobs. And just also, you know, the fact that, I get to do all of these interviews with some of the top talent, that's also validating to me, because not everybody gets that. And it's something where it's not just even the people, like, how do I say this? You also have to make sure that when you are given those opportunities, you do the very best and they keep coming. So that to me is validating within itself. So every time I sometimes feel like, man, I got to keep proving myself over and over, it's just more of, I got to keep doing what I'm doing constantly and look back on the things that have gotten you to this point and appreciate those things. Because I think sometimes we're so ready for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing that you forget everything else that you've done and all those things that have validated you thus far.
And I find this, like, we're all our own worst critics, but honestly, like, you saying that, you talking about, like, you feeling like appreciative of the people that, like, you look up to, Denise, like, I look up to you so much, and so do a lot of other people. Like, if you're not aware, you should be, because you're honestly, like you said, you are one of the only few people just in general doing multiple hour solo shows by themselves multiple times a week. And you have absolutely, also congrats on 50,000 followers, like, absolutely deserved. You are really just, I think, really at the forefront of this right now. And you've earned every opportunity and you've earned every, like, accomplishment that you've gotten there. And it's truly, like, inspiring to see your path. But I mean, along the way, it obviously couldn't have been easy. I feel like a lot of us get caught up in, like, followers and likes and view counts like that. So how, along your journey, how do you think you've been able to separate the success and the likes of others with your own, or, and not let it basically stunt your own growth?
Well, yeah. And it's obviously a lot harder when you're getting started because yeah. you think to yourself like, damn, I'm doing the best I can. Why isn't this, you know, why am I not getting thousands and thousands of views? Why am I not getting thousands and thousands of followers, et cetera? But I think that the biggest thing that you have to learn or that people have to learn that I had to learn was that it takes time. Everything takes time. You cannot rush things. Like sometimes it seems that when you're looking out to other people who are more successful than you are, and you're just thinking like, damn, how do I get there, et cetera? It's one of those things that you just kind of have to realize that this person got there, right? But you don't know all the sacrifices and all the extra work that they did to get there. So you have to remind yourself, okay, I'm not there yet. And here's a trick. Here's a trick that I learned from the very brilliant Taylor Swift. So a long time ago, I was reading this article when she just first, you know, became a star, right? And she's, you know, becoming a big star, but she's obviously not at the star that she is now. She was asked in an interview, how do you deal with career jealousy, being jealous of other people that are doing better than you are? And she basically said, I ignore that. And instead I rewire it in my brain and tell myself it's cool that something like that can happen. Because just because it happens to somebody else doesn't mean that it can't happen to you. So you basically have to see that as, damn, that's so cool that that happened to that person. And if I work hard and if I do this and if I do that, that can happen for me too. And maybe even something different, maybe even something better. Like I remember when I was getting started and seeing people that were more successful than me and thinking like, you know, obviously there's a part of me where I'm like, I'm better than that person, you know, like, you know, all of that stuff. Right. But at the end of the day, you just have to like, really, you have to see who you are and realize that I don't know how to explain this. You are your only you. And even though there are other people that are thriving, being who they are, there's no other you. So you got to thrive being the very best you. Like, it's cool to say, oh, I want to be the next this person or that person. But I never wanted that. I never wanted to necessarily be just one person. I always wanted to take facets of multiple people and basically make my own person. And I feel like that's something that obviously you have to continue working. There's going to be people that get opportunities that you don't, but then you got to remember like, hey, one day you're going to get an opportunity and there are going to be people that are jealous of you. And trust me, Ella, it happens. It really does happen. And you'd be surprised when it does.
I believe it. It's just, I don't know, especially like, I mean, I've been doing this almost 3 years now. And like, I've definitely had some moments where I'm like, whoa, like, I can't believe I did this. But even, and I know other people can like attest to this and probably even yourself, you just look at somebody, like somebody gets a certain interview or somebody is like, gets a certain guest or like gets some like award, I don't know, award or something. And you're like, oh, career. I know the term now, career jealousy. That was the term that I did not know that like I embodied. And it's hard not to get lost in those things. Honestly, especially, I wouldn't say I'm still starting out, but I'm like in that weird, awkward middle thing. I don't know how to explain it. But like hearing that from you, I think is really validating, I guess, basically that like, we're not alone. Like everybody has been on like a journey. And of course you're going to have somebody in front of you that you're jealous of, but that person that's in front of you is probably jealous of somebody else. And then there's probably somebody behind you that wishes that they could get to where you are. So it like, it's a whole like sequence, I feel like, if that makes sense.
It really is. It honest to God really is. And it's just one of those things where you just got to remind yourself, you know what? Like it's constant. Like I keep telling myself, and then there's also like, you know, obviously with social media, I think it could be so taxing because it's like, oh, this person's friends with that person. Oh, these social, like everyone's in a circle, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. And I hate it because even I find myself sometimes guilty of being in a circle and I'm like, nope, I'm going to be friends with everybody that's nice to me and I'm not going to form a circle. And if you're a good person and you work hard, I'm going to be your friend or at least be someone that you can, you know, say hello to every now and then. Right. Cause it's just one of those things where you got to be, I don't know. I don't even know what you got to be anymore. You just got to be a good person. Sometimes you just got to keep your head down. Don't look at what everybody else is doing, completely tune it out, and then just focus on yourself. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to get where you want to be. That's just the end of the day. Like if I sit here and compare myself to somebody that's better than me over and over, all I'm doing is wasting all this energy where I could have been doing something to succeed.
That's true, especially too, getting sometimes wrapped up in this media world. Sometimes laying low and focusing on your own work is something that is much needed. And I've definitely been doing that the last few months.
Yeah. You got it. Trust me. Girl, it keeps you sane.
It really does. And I mean, I just see it. We see everything, but doesn't mean we have to comment on everything. If that
Let me tell you something too. Like, that's something that you got to learn. Like, here's the thing. Like, when you talk about followers and all of this, I'm learning a big lesson. And you would think like, damn, Denise, you're 29 years old. You should have learned this lesson a whole long time ago. Well, clearly I didn't. There's so much power that you don't realize comes with social media. Mm-hmm. And as those numbers grow, the more power you have. And it's not always a good thing because it comes with a lot of responsibilities and a lot of expectations that people have of you. And let me tell you something, Ella, you will bend yourself into a pretzel to try to please everybody. And it is not the right thing to do. And sometimes you do have to take a step back and say, I don't need to comment on that, because sometimes you think you could be completely like, you could be totally, think you could be having the very best intentions, miss say one tiny thing. And it's like, God forbid, you just get heat with everybody. And it's like, wow, I had the best intentions and it just came out wrong. And now I'm screwed. And now my whole career is on the line. So yeah, so it's definitely something that I'm learning. And you got to take a step back. You got to say, I'm not going to comment on everything. I'm not Jesus Christ, because there's times where people think that you got to be this perfect human being on social media. And I'm not a perfect human being. There's no perfect human being. And I think people forget about that on social media.
Want to cut promos like your favorite wrestling legends? SmackTalkShowdown.com is the only place to buy the party game where smack talking your opponents isn't just encouraged, it's required. Smack Talk Showdown is 550 unique cards featuring crazy characters, vicious feuds, and gimmick matches that help set the stage for your epic verbal smackdown. Go to the extreme with the Lewd Attitude expansion and go head-to-head with promos you might want to keep between close friends. Go to SmackTalkShowdown.com right now and use promo code GAL, that's G-A-L, to get $5 off of your purchase. Again, that's promo code GAL, G-A-L, for $5 off your order. Only at SmackTalkShowdown.com. There have been so many times in the last even just few weeks, I have started to type out something and almost press send, saved it to my drafts. I'm like, maybe I'll come back to it later, and then just deleted it because I'm like, I cannot. I'm like, people are going to come for me, if that makes sense. It's not worth it. I see a lot of things. Doesn't mean we have to respond to everything.
Exactly.
Oh my God. But you talk about like networking and obviously like building your circles, especially in wanting to grow your own content and your brand. Like, networking is actually crucial, especially in the wrestling community. So do you have any specific ways to go about building those connections or introducing yourself to people for the very first time?
Honestly, here's the number one thing, and this is the best tip, is that your work speaks for itself. And I know that sounds very cliche, but it really is true. People want to work with people that they see are doing the work, because then before you know it, people hear of you and they say like, you know what? Let me follow this person. I'm going to follow this person. And you're like, oh shoot, so-and-so followed me. Hey, what's up? And so like you kind of like develop that friendship slowly. So I feel like instead of being like pushy and being like, hey, let's be friends, or let's talk, let's do this. It's more of a gradual thing. And you really just got to let your work speak for itself. That's honestly my best advice, because I honestly get a lot of requests for interviews, and I've been finding myself saying nope, because I've taken chances on some of these and I'm just like, God, that was not great. And I'm just thinking to myself, I gotta really wait and see like who is really, you know, doing the work, who's doing this, who's doing that, who's making some sort of anything. And that's the people that you want to be associated with.
Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah,
then.
Of course. See, there you go. Exactly. You're not doing too bad. Exactly. No, like it's just one of those things where I'm like, all right, if this person looks like they're keeping the hustle alive, then that's a person to pay attention to. Cause that's my number one thing. Do not ignore people that are working hard. You would be surprised who still ignores me. And you're just like, are you dumb? You know, like what the heck? So it is one of those things where it's like, do not ignore people that work hard, because the number one thing that I've learned is that people that ignored me early on in my career, they're not ignoring me now.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. They're, oh girl, I know. I've had that. I've had some of that, obviously probably not to the extent of you, but I think it lends itself to marketing to and promoting yourself and getting your name or your brand out there. Obviously like working hard is a big part of it, but what are some ways or outlets you have found to be successful in getting your name out there other than obviously your work, but you also have to like promote yourself too in some way as well, whether it's word of mouth or social media and stuff like that.
Branding is very, very important. You got to really let people know who you are. You got to really be careful with your brand. You got to protect it. Like there's a lot of things that I don't do and you'll see that. And I'm very protective of what I represent and what I stand for. So like for me, one of the outlets that I say, it's like, this is like, obviously my strongest are YouTube and Twitter. YouTube and Twitter are like my strongest things. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I was, you know, doing really well on TikTok for a while, but I got really burnt out there and I was like, oh, this is not for me. I'm too old for this. So like, I just did not care, but I did really, really well on there. So like, I just feel like that's probably the outlet where I mostly do stuff, but it's really just basically letting my podcast speak for themselves. I let my interviews speak for myself. I always make sure to promote my interviews, put them out there, promote my schedule, let people know where I'm going to be. Cause if you don't promote yourself, like who is? Like there's so many times, like it's so funny where like I'll promote my YouTube channel, right? And I'll get comments like, oh, I didn't know you had a YouTube channel. And I'm like, see, there you go. That's exactly why I'm promoting this YouTube channel. Cause not everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And then there's times where I'll promote my YouTube channel and be like, people will be like, oh, she's so annoying. Stop promoting your YouTube channel. But I'm like, that person didn't know I had a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. That person's got to know. So it's like, you got to promote yourself. If you don't, like who is? And you just got to promote yourself. And you got to have a nice vision for who you want to be too. That's very important because you cannot stray from that vision.
No, especially too. I feel like me and you can relate because we do a lot of freelance work. We're not only like representing ourselves though, but we're also representing like the multiple news outlets and everything else we're doing. So that's also like a big balancing act too, where I've honestly gone, sometimes I wanted to tweet out something, but I'm like, no, cause we're also reflecting like the brands and like the sites that we work for too as well. So it's also a hard balance with that too. I've had to stop myself a few times. I'm like,
yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. You just got to really, this is my one rule, is you can't die on every hill.
Yeah.
If you die on every hill, all of a sudden your voice does not have the same impact anymore. So you got to be very careful what you choose to stand up for, what hill you essentially decide you're okay dying on, because that's going to be very important down the road. And it's something that, again, I've always like learned that, but it's also more of like, again, speaking when you should speak and not necessarily speaking when you probably shouldn't be speaking on something.
No, exactly. I mean, not everything, again, sometimes laying low, it just isn't worth it. Not right, everything exactly. is worth it. You don't need our voice on every single thing. And some people haven't learned that. But anyways, I digress, Denise. You mentioned though burnout with TikTok. Talking about burnout, that's another huge facet, especially in like the hustle culture and all of that. So how do you personally deal with those burnouts besides forcing yourself to having a day off?
Okay. So my thing is, and this is funny because, so at the end of the workday, this is my time. Like once I'm done doing everything that I got to do, done, I have a no wrestling rule. You cannot talk about wrestling. We cannot watch wrestling. Nope. done, finito. I'm going to go watch TV and I'm going to relax and I'm going to unwind. So that's my thing that every single night I do. I watch TV, I laugh, I watch a show, I have a good time. That's essentially how I make sure that my head is on the in the right space. Also, and I know this is hard because of COVID, but this really just helps, is being around other people that don't watch wrestling, that don't want, that don't do media work, that nothing. You, like, it is, oh my God, I forgot, when was it? God, I think at some point last month, I finally got to see my friends, right? Oh my God, it was such a breath of fresh air to be able to talk about stuff that are like stupid and have a laugh with people and just like enjoy yourself and not have to worry about work, not have to talk about it. So I think that being with other people and talking about life and, you know, all of that good stuff is just such a good way to really just like break away from it all, because you gain this new perspective. Also, like me, I love to go places. I love to travel. So my whole thing is whenever I have a day off, I like to go places. I like to go look at new places. I like to go see new things. I like to try new foods and do an activity. I don't know, anything. So like for me, that's how I prevent burnout. And also I'm just very good at like, and it also helps that I love my job. Like, let me just say that. Like, I feel like I haven't said that. Like, I love my job. So like for me, I don't want to be doing anything else. So for me, like, this is all fun, but at the end of the day, I do sometimes have to make time for just me and also make time for my family and my siblings and my friends and all those people.
Of course, too, and balancing it all between like personal life, social life, professional
love life, all of it,
Yeah. So I'm obviously with like the hustle culture, a lot of that comes to sacrificing a bit of that, like you were referencing earlier. It comes though with the hustle culture, obviously, like I feel like a lot of people sacrifice a lot of that, like you said, like some of the friends, we all get lost in it, but I feel like there's all like a mutual understanding too of like, this person wants to be doing this. And like, for me, like I've sacrificed like love life, I don't know what that is, in like the last 2 years, I have no idea, Denise, especially with COVID too though, like social life is definitely like virtually, yeah, like I've been calling people and whatever, but like going out, it's probably once in a blue moon. It's not, unless it's wrestling, of course. So it's good to do stuff outside of wrestling.
It really is. And it's just like so much credit. Like I got to give so much credit to my fiance. Like he puts up with like a monster. I don't know how else to say it. Like there's, it's like, it's this funny thing where he'll tell me like, damn, Denise, I'm kind of afraid of you. Like you're so like, you know, that like that could be scary sometimes, right? But it's like a joke, right? But it's, if it wasn't for him being, I don't think, like if I was with somebody that was not supportive of my career, I would either A, the relationship would have been done, or B, my career would have been done. You really got to find somebody that really has a good head on their shoulders and really understands what your priorities are. And they got to be okay with that. And it may sound very selfish, but we know we're all different humans, but my fiance, man, if it wasn't for him, like, I don't think I would have gotten this far, because he's helped me out so much. So much. Like a lot of my success is definitely his success as well, because he's really the person that when I'm like done and I'm like, nope, that's it, I'm trash, I'm garbage, he's like the one that's like, nope, this is who you are, blah, blah, blah. He's the one who gives me the big picture. I only see what's right in front of me. I can't see anything more than that. So it really is nice to have somebody like that.
Especially to being a successful woman in especially wrestling brings me to another related point. You've said this before and I like resonated with, I think there's more pressure to like know your shit or have to do everything perfectly if you're a woman in this male dominated business, just across the board, wrestling, broadcaster, referee, etc. So why do you think that is, and how do you go about dealing with that? I would call it scrutiny.
Well, here's the thing. Is that, and I've seen this happen. Like mm-hmm. I've seen, like, I'm not going to mention any names, but I've seen other male podcasters that say some dumb stuff, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'll just be real. Okay. They say mm-hmm. some dumb stuff. And I'm just like, oh, ouch. If I would have said that, oh, forget it. Mm-hmm. Forget it. I would have been completely like done with. Nobody would have cared about me anymore. Forget it. I would have been canceled or you suck, get off my TV, etc. You know, all of that good stuff. And I'm like, nope. And that's the thing too, is that you have to, God, I don't know how to explain. Like, you can't, like, obviously you can't know everything. I don't know everything. Like, I don't know everything. It's so hard. Like, there's so much out there. I do not claim to be no historian or anything like that, but you got to be really sure that when you're talking about something, you actually know and understand it. And if you don't, you can at least explain it and be like, this is what I do know. And this is what I can tell you. Now, this other stuff, I probably can't talk about this. And you got to make sure that you're upfront about that, because that's the thing, is that every time, And every time, I don't know how to explain it. You don't want to set the bar. How do I, like, okay, if I go out and I say something dumb, not only am I setting myself back, but I'm also setting back any other female who wants to do what I do. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I have to prove myself, because if I don't, everybody else who tries to come afterwards, it's going to be like, well, you got to work that much harder to continue proving yourself, because, hey, this person already set a bad tone. So you got to make sure that, you know, you're also doing that. And it's just one of those things where, yeah, you're going to get judged a little bit differently. But here's the thing too, is that I do want to also say that guys get a lot of shit. They get so much crap online too. Yeah. Like, I've seen it happen. A lot of my male friends, I see the comments that they get. I see the BS that they have to deal with. So it's just not a female thing. Like, guys get it a whole lot too, but it is different for women. And here's why. It's because this is a male dominated industry. There aren't many women out there doing this. And on top of that, when you are used to listening to a certain voice for such a long time, that's what you see as the person who's knowledgeable. That's the person that you see. So sometimes for a lot of people, it's hard to see a woman as knowledgeable. It's hard to take them seriously. It's hard to basically take their opinion at something that is valid. And that's why, like, for me, I don't like when people say, like, oh, you know, you're providing a woman's perspective, or you're providing a female's perspective. I don't like that. I don't necessarily like that, because I don't want to just speak for women. I want to speak across the board, you know? And I get it. It's still my perspective. Obviously, I'm a female and that's what I, you know, associate with. But it's still one of those things where it's like, I get that, but I don't want anybody to set my bar lower. No way. I want my bar to be equal with the men. All right. I want to be competitive with the very best, whether it's a man or whether it's a woman. I want to be competitive with the very best. And that's point blank how I see things. So I feel like I see things sometimes a little bit differently. So I don't know.
I mean, no, your opinion is very much valid. I mean, you've done the work to get there. You've proven yourself more times than you have had to, quite honestly, in this male dominated industry. But it brings up, because you tweeted something a few months ago that I really, like, resonated with. And so I kind of wanted to know more of your response to sometimes the occasional misconception that we're only here, only working at a particular organization because they need a girl, or they need to fill a quota,
or they need a Latina. You can say it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's really is the truth though. And this is, I also tweeted this. Oh, I don't know if it's a tweet you're talking about. I've tweeted a lot of controversial stuff, but I basically don't like the idea of people saying she's just there because she's a woman and they need a woman, or she's just there because she's a Latina and they need some more Latinos, or whatever the case may be. I do not like that. I do not like that, because I am not looking for a handout. I do not agree with that. I feel that I feel like I don't want a handout. I don't want to be given an opportunity because, oh, we need a female. Nope. I want to be there because I'm better than this person. I want to be there because I'm the best option. Me being Latina is just part of it. Obviously, it's a huge part of who I am, because that's a lot of my identity. A lot of the way that I behave on camera is due to my personality and how I am. And that's obviously, you know, with my culture, that's the way I am. But I don't want people to say, we want you because you're a woman, or we want you because you're Latina and you can speak on this. I do not like that. I want to be given opportunities because I worked hard for it, and I am not looking for a handout. And I had people that didn't like that. I had people that, you know, were Latinos too, and they didn't like that. And I was like, well, I'm sorry, but that's your problem. You know, and like, for me, I'm not okay with that. I want to be given an opportunity because I worked hard. Because if somebody else gets an opportunity because, oh, they're this or they're that, it's like, okay, but you got to make sure that you're putting in the work. Because if not, when you're putting in the work and you don't get an opportunity because you're not this or you're not that, it sucks, you know? So I feel like people everybody needs to have an equal opportunity, but everybody also needs to work hard. I don't want to be given an opportunity just because I'm a woman.
I like that. I like that a lot, especially to, I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, you're creating great content. You have the work ethic and the rap sheet and the work to back it up, basically. But I feel like there's sometimes moments where creativity is forced or positivity is forced for the sake of content. So have you ever felt like you've had to force positivity or force creativity just for the sake of content?
No, but I do feel like sometimes you have to sugarcoat things. I think sometimes, like, I find myself being, sometimes I feel like people, and I always like my, so here's the thing. Sometimes, like, let's say you don't like something that you saw on a TV show, right? And you want to tweet it out there because it's your opinion, right? I've learned, don't tweet it out. Keep it to yourself, but share it on your podcast. Because when people are listening to you talk about something, you can obviously use more than 240 characters to explain your reasonings behind it. And one of the things that I promote on my podcast, it's like, you don't have to agree with me. You could be listening to my podcast and not agree with me. Like, that's perfectly okay with me. But I also think there has to be respect. On Twitter, there is no respect. There is no respect. Like, if you tweet, this match sucked, it's something so normal, right? Like, you say that at home when you're watching TV. Oh, this sucked, man. But you can't tweet that because then people are like, oh my God, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. And so it gets crazy. But on a podcast, you could be like, well, you know, I wasn't really that big of a fan of this because et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people are more able to understand that. Now, obviously, there's still a lot of trolls, you know, on YouTube and all of that. And that's something that, like, I get so much. But I've come to realize that people, if they want to give you a fair shot, then they will give you a fair shot. Then there are people that if they don't want to give you a fair shot, they're just going to see what they want to see. They're going to paint you as the villain that they want you to be. And you cannot change those people's minds no matter how hard you try. You could be the nicest person ever with the best intentions and someone will still be upset at you for some reason. I've had people criticize me because they feel I'm too happy. People say they can't watch my show because I'm too happy. And I'm like, do you want me to be depressed? I'm not depressed. You know, it's like, what can you do? That's just who I am. And so you got to be really like, you got to understand where those people are coming from too, because sometimes people will judge you and they will criticize you and they'll be so mean to you. But then you got to think to yourself, I'm making a full-time job talking about wrestling. There is going to be a lot of jealousy that comes with that. Hell, frick, I would have been jealous of me if I wasn't me, you know? It's things like that that you have to understand and realize why there's going to be different reasons why people don't like you.
Definitely too. And that's something I am slowly learning. And I have now not posted stuff on Twitter. I just kind of stay silent. Again, don't need to express my opinion all the time if I don't like something. Again, that's more something, like I said, like you said, you will explain like on a podcast, because then people can hear your reasoning, you know?
Yeah,
of course. And they can like respectfully disagree with it and all of that. It gives you more forum, more time to, I don't know what the right word
more
is.
More conversation, because you can't bury people just because they don't agree with you. And there's a lot of people that do that. And I don't like that because I'm a huge believer in freedom of speech. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm a huge believer in freedom of speech. And I just don't like people being, I don't like people being censored to share their opinions, because I don't want to live in a robotic society where we all got to think exactly the same. And oh my God, you don't like, you know, this topping on your pizza. We can't be friends no more. You're a terrible human. You know, like, we don't like the same show. How dare you?
Exactly.
I don't want to live in a robotic society where I got to think exactly the way everybody else thinks, where I got to feel exactly what everybody else feels. I don't like that. And so for me, I try to not do that. And like, even in like on my podcast, I'll make sure to like read people's different opinions. We'll have a conversation about it. You know, we'll make jokes about it, etc. But on Twitter, you can't really do that. It's so hard to do on Twitter. You can't do it. It's too difficult. But I think that who you are and the kind of person that you are will attract the people that are, you know, they relate to you. There's going to be people that relate to you and say, you know what? I like this person because I relate to them in some way. And that's a good thing. So, you know, there's going to be terrible people out there that say terrible things about you. And you're just, it's sad to say, but you're just going to have to take it. Like, I've learned, I've been dealing now with trolls for years. And it's just something that I've had to learn to accept and to be okay with, because the number one thing that like I've learned too is if you're not making, there's men and women that will hate your guts. I hate my guts, right? I've gotten attacked from both ends. Okay. So it's one of those things where you just got to realize if you're not making people, if you're not, especially because this is a male dominated world, I'm going to specify on males right now. But if you're not making men uncomfortable, then you're not doing something right. You got what I'm saying? Because they're so used to a certain format and to certain voices where it's like, nope, here's my voice. You didn't see me coming. I'm making noise. So I'm doing something correct. If I'm kind of, you know, maybe not, I'm, you know, stirring the pot just a little bit in the sense where my voice is different, my opinions are different, and I'm actually doing something successful with my life, that may make some guys feel uncomfortable, right? But that's a good thing because you don't want to not be seen as a, you don't want to not be seen as a threat, because if you're not seen as a threat in some perspective to either men or women or whoever, then you're not doing enough. You're not making enough noise. You're not ruffling enough feathers. Successful people are going to trigger other people like that. I don't know how else to say it, like not trigger, but you got to make waves, and making waves is going to make some people feel uncomfortable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Especially too, once you get to a certain point, you're just going to get criticized basically on anything you do.
So, yeah, I mean, everything.
Especially too, I have two more questions for you, by the way. So with everything in wrestling too, especially with so many, my gosh, so much content out there to consume, like even just on a daily, weekly basis, it can honestly, and I don't know how you run multiple shows per week, so kudos to you, but honestly, how do you find the time to catch up or make sure that you are informed on all of those podcasts that you do?
So when it comes to shows, I watch all the shows live. That just works so much better with my schedule. I do the shows live, watch right, and do the post shows right afterwards. But when there are multiple shows that I want to cover and I can't do them all, I just kind of rewire everything and reschedule everything and make that work. And then I'm trying to think, what was the question?
How do you find the time to basically watch or be informed on everything that's happening in wrestling?
And then in terms of the news side, the mornings when I wake up, I just look to see what's going on and I inform myself that way. So that's like the best way. And, you know, obviously I keep up with Twitter and everything. So I'm seeing stuff as it unfolds. And so that's how I, you know, essentially keep up with everything. So I just make sure that, you know, I'm reading the people that I know do a good job at this, and I read what they got to say, and I see the news that they break, and that's it. I don't go anyplace else. Like I go to my trusted, you know, trusted people that I, you know, like what they do and respect what they do.
Especially too, like if for me, like I have a shoot job. So there's times where I cannot watch a show live and like maybe have to write an article, or like I'm going to be doing like a podcast about it or something. But honestly, like Twitter gives great updates, great highlights, GIFs, like short videos that I can basically fill myself in on what happened or read articles about it. So that, I mean, Twitter sometimes is a cesspool, but honestly, it's great for catching yourself up because there's somebody out there that's going to be covering something in wrestling that maybe you can't see live. So
exactly. Yeah. Especially, and that's something that I do too, is obviously tweet all day.
I love your Twitter content, especially all caps. It pops me, honestly.
It's so funny because people get offended by that. They get offended by all caps and exclamation points. And I'm like, ew, like big letters make you uncomfortable. What? I'm sorry that makes you uncomfortable. Like, I don't get uncomfortable by stuff like that, but people get like crazy about it. But I have people that come up to me and they're like, oh, I love your Twitter all the time. And I'm like, okay, thanks.
I do love your Twitter. It pops me a lot of the time. There's relatable content, but also like, I mean, to be fair though, if the only thing wrong with your Twitter account is all caps and not like the substance of your thing, problem, Denise.
There's so much drama on my Twitter page. Like there's people that have days on end arguments I have nothing to do with. There's people that get mad for like the silliest things. Like the other day, I posted a video of me throwing an axe. Somebody on my Instagram was like, take your mask off, you know, little things like that. Or let's say I post a quote, we have ears, we have eyes. And I'm like, okay, this triggered you. And this is why you're acting this way. So it's little things, like every little thing you do will make somebody upset. No winning.
But I mean,
I told you, twist yourself into a pretzel.
I mean, you are winning though. in this wrestling media game. So lastly, generally, it was a question from somebody who I'm friends with. What, just generally, what advice would you give to those who are maybe looking to get into wrestling media or become a content creator?
Do everything. Work harder than everybody else and stay true to yourself. That's like my best advice. Oh, and make sure that you, how do I explain? You get the proper training as well. You got the proper training.
Now, can you elaborate on the proper training part? I know what you mean, but they might not know.
Okay. So I would say that the proper training would be, for example, taking lessons, in the sense of one of the major things that I did, and obviously I was pursuing a different career at the time, but I made sure to take hosting classes. I took a lot of hosting classes. So I got proper training from people that have had successful careers as hosts, as broadcasters, whatever the case is. And so that's something that I don't see a lot of people doing in wrestling media. And I think that's something that people need to do, because people don't want to tune in to a show where, you know, the host is not, you know, doesn't have a good tone, or, you know, isn't presenting themselves in a proper way. So I think that's very important, is presentation of how you present yourself. And that has to do a lot with training and getting the proper experience. So for me, I would say that, I would say practice, 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 practice. Find a day to be on camera every single day, even if you're not putting it out there, even if you're not publishing it to the masses. It could just be anything. Put a video, go on Instagram, I don't know, do a TikTok, something. So always make sure you're in front of a camera. Always make sure that's like, if that's what you want to do. If you want to be a writer, then obviously write, do what you need to do. I like, on the writing side of things, I'm probably not like the best person to talk to, but on the broadcasting video side of things, I would say learn everything, take every job that you possibly can, in the sense of like, no job is too small. So like, if you got like a lame job doing like, I don't know, cutting clips or something, or transcribing, you got to take that as a pro, because those are the jobs that essentially help you become better when you get to the places that you want to be. Like, I've worked some like really lame jobs that really ended up helping me out. Okay. And there were things where I was miserable doing them at the time, where I'm like, wow, if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have known how to do this now. So like, every little job teaches you something, no matter how small a job is, no matter how small an opportunity is, it'll help you learn something.
And like, every little thing, I think, builds up. Like, for me, transcribing is honestly one of the biggest, I don't know what the word is, because I'm a writer and I have to sometimes transcribe interviews and all of that too. It's not the most fun thing, but honestly, it's taught me a lot too, like verbiage and all of that stuff. So, but it's definitely along that journey, and it builds up to eventually maybe where you want to be, which is where Denise is.
And I do all my own transcribing. So like, I do it like word for word. Like, I press play, I press pause. So it's like, no matter what, like, no matter how, like, where you get, you're still going to have to do the grunt work, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to do my own transcribing.
there's some AIs out there that help a little bit, and you just have to like double check or whatever. That's honestly, I've started doing that. I mean, you have to pay for it, but I always double triple check. Like, I'll read it, right. I'll play it, and then I'll fix whatever it is, because it's not always accurate. But I've right. been there too, where it's very long pausing, like every 5 seconds, type. But they're important too, especially in media, when you're trying to spread and send news out there for quotes and everything like that. It's a big part.
Exactly. How small. It's very important to do. It's one of those things where you're like, oh wow, this ain't going away. I got to do this.
Yeah. Well, Denise, before I let you go, can you please tell the listeners again where they can find you on all your social media and projects?
Twitter and Instagram @_DeniseSalcedo. Mainly Twitter, because that's where you can share links and stuff like that. So you can find out all my shows. And then, of course, youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. And then, of course, my F4W shows on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for joining me today again. It's been an absolute pleasure having this conversation with you.
Thank you. I love chatting with you too. Hopefully everything I said was okay and helped.
Yes. Yes, no, absolutely. Like I said, you are somebody that I highly look up to in this, like in everything basically. And you're a great follow too on Twitter. Like she just recently reached 50K. So let's make it 51K soon and then get to 100K. Keep her going. Denise, thank you so much. I think this was such like an important conversation to have, and we could have gone on and on, but I'm sure I'll get you back on another time. Hopefully. So yeah, thank you so much again.